Welcome, everyone, to the ETT Town Hall. My name is Doris Dooney, ETT Treasurer, and I am joined by Vice President Jamie Tom and President Jennifer Brown. Together, we make your ETT table team. Thank you for joining us this evening. We want to provide members the opportunity to ask questions about the TDSB's back-to-school plan and COVID-19 protocol. Jennifer?
Thanks, everyone. This year is already shaping up to be an extraordinary year ahead. The stress and constant change is challenging, not knowing what will entail when we go back to school. The working environment we're not assured of until the very last minute. This ministry has not done its part. Your safety, your health, your working conditions are our priority. I want to thank you for participating in this. We have some information to share with you, and I just want to assure you that regardless of where we are September 15th, we are going to do all that we can to advocate and push back against this underfunded plan, and we all must be vigilant. And in that, I mean, we need to call out what is wrong, what is not working, document and report promptly. We will not accept health and safety concerns or collective agreement breaches. We need to draw attention to the issues for us to be successful in the upcoming weeks and months ahead. That being stated, once you return, you'd be in receipt of the steward's mailing. It should be there within the next few days for you all to help do this effectively. The steward mailing outlines the beginnings of a campaign, which we will be building on as an executive on September 2nd and 3rd. Jamie?
Thanks, Jennifer. I just wanted to add to that that throughout the summer, the executive has been preparing for the beginning of the school year. We're in a rapidly evolving situation, which changes daily, but what we know is that on September 15th, when students arrive, we are going to be faced with challenges in the classroom. We know that this return to school plan is underfunded, and it behooves us as an organization to expose this, to shine a light on the working conditions that our members are going to be faced with. And so in order to allow our members to make their voices heard, we have a steward's mailing, as the president has indicated, which will be arriving in schools with important information for stewards to share with their staff in order to allow every member of staff to do their part to expose, to document, to report the concerns that they're going to have. We have a parent petition, which we will be asking all stewards and all staff to complete with parents. We have a checklist for stewards to confirm that all of the health and safety measures which should be taking place in their school are indeed happening, that there are no collective agreement breaches, etc. And we will be asking members to be vigilant about those things and contact their executive officer should problems arise. One other thing that I wanted to bring everyone's attention to before we proceed is that as of today, we have approximately one-third of our schools that do not yet have a registered steward. In order for us to be effective as an organization going forward, we need participation at every level of the organization, from the classroom teacher upwards. And so we need those schools that have not yet elected a steward for the 2020-2021 school year to do so as quickly as possible. We realize that there are sometimes logistical challenges with that based on the current circumstances. If you are facing challenges, if you are one of those schools and you're not quite sure how to conduct an election under the current circumstances, please reach out to your executive officer for support in that regard. Jennifer is now going to provide an update on some of the developments which have been happening over the course of the last few weeks.
So we have been in receipt of many questions from members. We know that many of you have put in for medical leave or family leave and for your reasons not being able to enter the school building. Many of those members have been reaching out to the board and have not yet received an answer. I can state that the TDSB's plans have not yet been finalized. And what I can tell you, though, is the amount of virtual requests exceeds the number of members requesting accommodation. And that is good news, knowing that most people who are in need of an accommodation to work virtually from home will very likely be granted that accommodation because of this significant amount of virtual classes that need to be staffed. For our central staff, many central members have been very anxious about the redeployment and what that's going to look like. And what I can tell you is that there will be a need where you're going to be asked to participate in sharing your ideas of how this can be better. On Monday, there will be a meeting where we have been asked to seek your input in making this redeployment better. Some of the redeployment may be virtual, it may be otherwise, but there is a guarantee that we have had that there will be some form of consultative process. So we've been working on that. Thank you for your questions. We have been able to allow for that to come forward. We've been advocating with the board to work to come up with this process that recognizes the need for the geographical challenges some of you may have and the concerns of that you have said you'd like to be assigned to not more than one work site. Finally, assignment changes and reorganization. This is another very big topic that I just want to get out and tell you. There are no guarantees that you will be teaching your current assignment at this time. It's always based on the needs of the school and the amount of reorganization that will be necessary based on the number of students who have elected for a virtual classroom versus the number of students who will be in a classroom face-to-face. We have encouraged the board to minimize the reorganization and disruption as much as possible so that members can keep their assignments. We recognize that it's already an anxiety-causing situation for all members. Principals have been directed to consult with staff. This is what has been able to take place and occur. So you will be able to connect with your administrator to talk about some of the staffing challenges or reorg as it applies to your school site. We've been very firm with the board, and they are well aware that we will not sit back and allow for our collective agreement to be walked over. They have assured us and shared with administration that they are to include our limits on supervision, to include that teachers will not be doing more working with students more than 300 minutes per day, no more than 80 minutes of assigned supervision per week, and 40 minutes of uninterrupted lunch. That is what has been assured. And if it is breached, we will take them to grievance because we will not stand down and let our collective agreement be trampled on. I am encouraging all members to review the COVID-19 return to school FAQs on the ETC website. Many of your concerns are already addressed there. We are going to be taking questions at this time, and we are going to ask you to press *3 for questions. At this time, we are going to take the first question on the online.
The first question is, are we being paid starting on September 1st?
Okay. Okay, so September 1st. I would like to address September 1st. That is a professional activity day, and yes, that is a paid day. I would also like to state about the activity day, September 1st. Please keep this in mind. So September 1st, the expectation is that teachers will be virtual on September 1st, and they will be focused on health and safety. September 1st is a paid day, and health and safety will be the topic. You do not need to go into the school on September 1st. September 2nd and 3rd are in person. If a teacher has requested accommodation to not return to the school, that is okay because the learning modules can be assessed remotely. Okay? All right. Is there another question?
The next question is supervision, lunch. Are our rights under the collective agreement for these items still in place?
Yeah, I think this question comes from Monica Cameron. So thanks for your question, Monica. As the president has already mentioned, we have had assurances from the board that they will abide by provisions in the collective agreement with respect to the length of the instructional day. So the length of the instructional day will, as per the collective agreement and as per the Education Act, remain at 300 minutes. Teachers will be entitled to an uninterrupted 40-minute lunch themselves. Student lunch, we have been informed, will take place during instructional time. So during 300 minutes of instruction is when students will be eating their lunch. So all told, yes, all of those provisions in the collective agreement will be adhered to. But again, going back to my earlier comments, if there are breaches of any of those provisions or other provisions in the collective agreement, it is really important that individual members or stewards reach out to the executive officer in a timely way. We don't want to delay with any kinds of concerns of those nature. We want to get those addressed as soon as possible.
The next question is put forward by Susan. What if face shields don't fit over our glasses and come too close to scratch? Are we allowed to get our own and be reimbursed?
That's a great question. At this time, I'm going to say this is something we will bring back. There are very specific equipment that has been purchased for staff, and they meet certain code, and the board has to ensure that it's met to code in terms of insurance, et cetera. So to purchase something that may not meet code would not be allowed. I would like to expand on this as well to talk about the mask. All staff will be provided medical grade masks, and they should be already within the school. So that is what I would like to share for all of you to know, that it's already there and awaiting to be distributed to all staff members. Thank you.
Okay, the next question. Is there a time period that we have to be let known if we are granted the accommodation for school? I submitted my note about 3 weeks ago. That's the first question. This is put forward by Galette.
Hi, Galette, and thanks for the question. As the president has already mentioned, we've had many, many requests from members who, for medical reasons, or for family status reasons, are not able to return to the school building. The good news, as has already been mentioned, is that those accommodation requests are likely to be granted. Indeed, the board will be looking for additional teachers to teach in the virtual learning sphere. There isn't a specific timeline within which the board has certainly let us know that they're going to get back to members. We do have a meeting with Employee Services on Monday, where we hope to get clarification from them. At this time, they were not able to provide us with a time frame, but we're hoping to have more information on that on Monday, and certainly we'll continue to share the latest details with members as soon as they become available.
Okay. The next question has been put forward by Catherine. Is there any information regarding the limits on the number of student contacts a teacher can have? I am scheduled to see over at least 100 students daily in several different cohorts.
Thank you, Catherine McClain, for that question. And this is going to, I think, address for many prep teachers. So we did seek this question out from the board, and we have this to report. They state, we know that direct and indirect contact numbers apply to students and not teachers. They are trying to limit the number of prep teachers that are seen within the day, and it's still being worked out. The board is asking for your input. They want to talk about this with your input, so I'm asking each member who has a computer access, if you have those ideas, put them in on this chat. You need to go to the online version of this web town hall and pose your question there or your solution to the exposures, how to limit the number of students prep teachers see within a day. They know that it's not the best, and they want your input. That also applies for our centrally assigned teachers to put your solutions into the chat on the online question area. Thank you.
Okay, the next question is put forward by Melanie. If you're supposed to be evaluated this year, will it still happen? And is there an option to opt out? Jamie?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So we had a conversation with Employee Services as recently as this afternoon, where we urged them, given the nature, the unprecedented nature of this return to school and the fact that many members will be outside of the teaching environment that they're used to, we've encouraged the board to postpone TPAs, all TPAs, for this coming year. The board has yet to confirm with us how they are going to proceed. They're still considering that request. And what they have stated is that any teacher who has gone through an unsatisfactory appraisal and is going through the process to be reevaluated, those appraisals will continue. We have yet to receive confirmation from the board on all other members who are scheduled to undergo their TPA in the coming year. But we will get back to you again when we have more information on that on Monday.
Mm-hmm. The next question is put forward by Julie. How come the TDSB has not been able to guarantee smaller class sizes, K to 3, 15 students, and 4 to 8, 20 students, like other boards of education have been able to do?
The board, great question. Underfunding. This board has been underfunded and has many, many needs to address, such as the building, such as the air filters, ventilation, such as fixing the waters and venting. Those are issues that cannot be addressed and with the funding that they receive from the government. Therefore, the money cannot be directed solely into reducing the class size. Okay, next question.
Yeah, we have a question here from Karen Rowland. Will part-time teachers need to do full-time PD on the first, second, and third? Will we be paid for it? I was told that I need to do full days. No, Karen, thanks for that question, but the answer is no. Part-time teachers work their regular hours, even on PA days. So if you're a part-time teacher who is scheduled to work in the AM, you would only come in or attend in the AM on September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And the same for PM teachers. If you're a part-time PM teacher, you would only attend in the afternoon portions of those days. So you cannot be required to work over and above your FTE with the board.
Thank you. Vivian Gadanidis at Kennedy Public School. Your question, childcare. I have childcare that I share my room with. How do I ensure safety with COVID is going on? Fantastic question. So there needs to be protocols in place, and you need to ask questions. We all need to ask questions. We need to be vigilant. We need to document things that we see that is not happening, that should be happening. One of the things that I would like to take the time, because I have not seen it as a question here thus far, is about screening. You are expected to self-screen before you go into the school. Before entering the building, all staff must do self-screening. The board is working on an app at this time. It's a health screening app. They've developed this to assist in verifying that staff and students are safe to enter the school site, according to the guidelines set out by Toronto Public Health. So what that is going to be taking place, and you'll know more about it once it's developed, but the impact of the screening will be shared in the coming weeks. In the meantime, each school should have a screening station set up so that you come in for visitors, for parents, and staff. One door, you sign in for COVID tracking, as well as hand sanitation and masks for visitors. Safety is the utmost. If things are not happening as you enter, you need to let us know, and you will see that. What is expected from all staff and the stewards according to our plans going forward with the campaign to keep you safe and the board accountable. Next question.
A question here from Michelle, who's a centrally assigned member. What kinds of supports will be in place for central staff if they are redeployed back to the school, especially out of their learning center? Thanks for your question, Michelle. And just a reminder that both Doris and I have carriage of the centrally assigned members portfolio. I have been receiving a lot of emails from members, centrally assigned members who are concerned about redeployment. Even the term itself is a little bit concerning, has kind of militaristic overtones. The concerns have been numerous. Members are concerned about being placed geographically distant from their current locations or from their home school. Members are concerned about being placed in multiple schools and obviously the exposure, the increased exposure that comes with that. The good news is that the board recognizes these things. They have indicated to us at least that they recognize these challenges. And they are currently working with us on a process, a consultation process, which we have asked them to create in order for centrally assigned members who have different expertise in different areas to be consulted on how they would wish to be redeployed. I know that there are many centrally assigned members who have digital expertise who may wish to be reassigned to the virtual academy. There are other members who have other expertise. So we're working with employee services, again, to figure out a consultation process so that hopefully we won't have a situation where members, centrally assigned members, are relocated to a school which is not their home school or which is very distant geographically from where they're currently situated. But again, in closing on this one, I would just encourage all centrally assigned members to reach out to myself and Doris if you have any suggestions that you would like us to bring forward to the board next week when we meet with them to discuss this process.
All right. So this question comes in from Fiona. Okay, how is eating in classrooms safe? Students must remove masks to eat. What safety measures are being taken? Eating outdoors is not really a permanent solution. So I just want to say that children need to eat. They will be eating during the 300 minutes during the instructional day at their desk. And it is a contained space. Hopefully that classrooms will be smaller. I agree, it is not ideal at this time. That is the plan for the board. And I strongly suggest that health and safety concern forms be filled out. We must be vigilant, but that is the answer to that question at this time. Okay, it says here, if we are in the portable, can we eat with our kids while they eat outside instead of inside at their desk like we have done before? These are questions that are very site specific, and more information will be coming forward about that. I'm trying to get as many questions as I can in looking at the time. We've used 30 minutes thus far, and we want to get all your questions out and answered in this forum.
So we have another question here from David from Taylor Creek, David Ross from Taylor Creek. What is happening the week of September 8th? We asked this question earlier today, and unfortunately the board doesn't have a definitive answer for us yet. We assume that teachers who are able to return to school will be in class, will be setting up their classrooms in anticipation and preparation for September 15th. Obviously, we will have a number of members who will not be able to physically enter school buildings. So the details of what they will be expected to do has yet to be determined by the board, but obviously, needless to say, teachers will still be paid for that time.
Okay, so I'm going to just answer a couple questions. These are the online questions. And are there any changes to the 80-minute supervision? No changes at this. There's no changes. And if it does change, you need to contact your executive officer. Susan R. asks, when will ETT area reps be available to ask specific questions? September 1, all exec officers will be available. Many of them are answering questions right now and returning phone calls and emails. So I just wanted to make that known. Thank you for that question, Krista. Here we have Krista's question. If my accommodation is approved, can I change it when we get more information about class size? Yes, there are three possible times of the year that students will be able to change. And if that is a possibility, the board would then need to adjust staffing to match. So theoretically, at this point in time, from the discussions we have had, the answer would be yes. Next question. Okay, let's go up to some of these. Okay. Who's this? Christopher Wu. Christopher. I put in my request for accommodations and have not heard back. What happens on September 2nd and 3rd? My accommodation to work remotely. So you will work remotely on September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd by completing the online version of the workshops that will be provided. The first day is all about health and safety on September 1st, while you wait to hear back from employee services about your accommodation. So September 1st, I'm repeating it for those who may have joined late, September 1st, all members are expected to be in their own homes virtually learning about the health and safety, COVID, everything from home. September 2nd and September 3rd members will be expected to be at school. Those who need accommodation on September 2nd and 3rd shall stay at home and complete the modules virtually. Okay.
We have another question here. That's an online question. How can teachers change their response on the return back survey? I don't believe there's a mechanism to be able to do that. However, if your circumstances have changed with respect to your ability to return to school, if your for example, your medical situation has changed such that you may require accommodations to work from home, then you should provide medical documentation to the board, to a staffing officer at the board, to make them aware that those accommodations need to be provided. Again, that process is still underway, and medical accommodations need to be provided all the time, not just in response to the survey.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Diana. How will ETT fight back against the classes of 30 plus? We will do that with you, all 11,000 of you, working together to make this government change the funding formula. Through voting, through advocacy, through working with our community partners and our parents, all of us united, showing what the needs are within our public school, where the deficiencies are, and demanding that the government fund the system where they have lacked. That is how we can all do it. It's not just the 14 people in the ETT office that can do it. We need the power of the collective that makes this union strong, and that includes each and every one of you. Thank you.
Next question is an online question from Revlon Stoddart. Are teachers expected to monitor COVID symptoms daily upon arrival of our students? So the board is going to be initiating staggered entry for students at the beginning of the school day. Part of the reason that they're doing this is to allow for each student to be screened upon entry to the school. And the president has already mentioned that there will be screening stations set up. And the board has also notified us that they're working on an app, a screening app, which hopefully will be ready for implementation on September 15th as well, which will assist parents to screen students prior to arriving at school each day. The screening station in each school will have to be staffed by school personnel. That has yet to be determined who that will be. Obviously, teachers can be required to supervise students for up to 80 minutes. So conceivably, a teacher could be asked to supervise the screening station, but obviously they'd have to make sure that social distancing and all other health and safety measures, we have to make sure that those are in place, which the board has assured us they will be.
Okay, I have a question. I'm going to do three in a row. Linda from David Lewis Public. What is the protocol for ventilation in regards to portables that are being used in our school? No air circulation. I'm worried about health and safety risks. Six portables in total. So if you have issues about what's happening in your school and you are worried, that is the need for the use of a health and safety concern form. And you have your health and safety reps who can assist you with that. The board has been working with ventilation in their building. They haven't specifically said they've been doing it to portables. But what they have been doing is reviewing their filtration systems and improving ventilation in schools to increase the volume of fresh air to maximize the extent as much as possible. So this includes cleaning the filters that are installed and changing them more frequently. Some of the older buildings may not have that ventilation. So in those cases, they are going to ensure that the windows are open. And some of these changes will take time. The provincial and federal monies that were announced to help with the ventilation will eat up a large chunk of the monies that could be used for staffing, but you need to breathe. So the improvements will take time, especially the large-scale projects. The next question, because I said I would do three, will there be surplus due to reorganization? What will happen to these teachers? Again, as I stated in the beginning, yes, there will be some reorganization. You will remain at your home school. Your school of record is your school of record. But during this COVID restructuring, reorganization, dependent on school and student need, you may be assigned to a different school or to be doing online. These are very real possibilities, but your homeschool remains once COVID is over. And I just want to be very honest with you all so that you are aware that there is a strong possibility, depending on the needs at your school, that your assignment may change.
I have another question that's related to that from Sonia from Dixon Grove Junior Middle School. I have a 0.5 position in one school and a 0.5 at another. This happened this spring under normal hiring conditions. Should I not be placed back into Dixon Grove both times for the staffing to be redone? So we obviously have a number of members who work between two or more schools. We have shared with the board our concerns for these members' health and safety, being exposed to multiple cohorts, working in different schools, and the board is receptive to these concerns. That has to be balanced, obviously, as well with the need for staff at respective work sites. So we have encouraged the boards to consolidate members into one of their two schools, but that will obviously be based on the needs of individual schools and the balance of students who are learning in class as opposed to learning remotely.
Okay, so here's a question for those who may have joined. This is Talia. Can we wear our own mask? You will be given specific masks from the school board to use as it meets the standards that are required. So it is advisable that you would use the mask provided by your employer. When do we find out about accommodations that are being offered to staff? That is a question from Sophia. That answer will come as soon as the school board is aware of how many teachers are required to do online or face-to-face based on the surveys received from families. They're working on it. It will take some time. I have no set date.
We have a question here from Charmaine, who's at Thomas Wells Public School. If supervision is happening during the 300 minutes of instruction, is the 80 minutes going to be calculated in the 300 minutes, or are they separate? So they're separate, Charmaine. So the 300 minutes of instruction is separate from the 80 minutes. So again, students, we've been notified by the board that students will be having their lunch during instructional time. The teacher will be with the students at that time, but because it's during the 300 minutes of instruction, it will not be considered part of the 80 minutes of supervision. The 80 minutes will be over and above anything outside of the 300 minutes where a teacher is expected to supervise students.
This question comes from Pamela. Why do IFP classes size remain the same at 10 when there are major issues regarding social distancing and wearing of masks within this population? That's a great question, Pamela, and it really boils down to dollars. That's what it is, because they can make it smaller, but that would mean more funding for teachers, and it is unacceptable, because if 10 was before COVID and it's still 10 during COVID, and you're dealing with a population that is highly active and dangerous at times, it's important that those things be addressed. So it's a great question, and I think it needs to be highlighted, and we need to shine a light on it as we go forward.
We have a question here from Lisa at Parkdale Public School. I'm currently in an ISP behavior program, and I'm fine to be redeployed for this. If I get redeployed to do a regular class, I have to go virtually. Will this be allowed? So in addition to discussing a consultation process for redeployment of centrally assigned teachers, we also, the board is also in need of additional teachers to staff the virtual academy. So we also have to discuss with the board a process that will allow for members who are interested in participating in that to make their interest known. If someone is redeployed to a school and they are not able to attend the school, that would have to be for medical reasons. So if there's a medical reason why someone is not able to attend a school, if they themselves are at high risk, or they have a family member who's at high risk, for example, or they have another family situation which precludes them from attending school, then they should make that information known to the board as quickly as possible, and they shouldn't wait on that. So to answer the question, it is possible to be, upon redeployment, to be allowed to teach virtually. It depends on a number of different factors, but if this is necessary as a result of a medical condition, then that should be reported to the board as soon as possible.
Leslie writes, was on the phone, question here from Leslie. My child, who is in daycare, has to stay home because she has symptoms, and I would like to stay home as well and use my bank sick days as a result. That is correct. So if you have a sick child and you need to stay home, you would be using your sick days or your miscellaneous days, depending if you have any for, because you're caring for a family member. Okay, so it's that would be the answer for that. The next question I wanted to address here is from Louise at North Bendale. Could a teacher with an exemption, example, a masked exemption, be denied return to work in the classroom? I can still work, and I have an exemption, and I'm willing to work. So that's a great question, and I think we'd have to state that you would be able to work, but for the safety of all, it would be a remote situation. Okay. And the question that keeps popping up is how are we working on the 1st of September? And that is virtual for everyone. The 1st of September is virtual. The 2nd and 3rd is face-to-face. The 2nd and 3rd is only virtual for those who have not yet been given accommodation notification.
We have a number of questions as well coming up around the wearing of PPE. So it's obviously mandatory for staff members to wear face masks. Members should wear the TDSB issued face masks. The only circumstance in which one would not have to wear a face mask is if an accommodation is required. A medical accommodation, a religious accommodation, or an accommodation of some other nature. But otherwise, members would have to wear a face mask at all times and be required to do so.
Okay, so there's a lot of questions here about if your child is sick and you have to stay home, is it cut of your sick bank? Yes, it would be something that would be deducted. And or if they have COVID symptoms and you must self-isolate, that would be a different situation because that would be quarantine for you. So just to clarify, and that was a question, I believe, from Carmen. Okay. There's a lot. Okay, my medical note, this is from Irene. Medical note includes a diagnosis. We strongly state you never should give diagnosis on your notes, just for future and for everyone else out there. The text from the email states it does not require, but it needs to be reviewed. It needs to be reviewed. It doesn't make sense. Medical note includes a diagnosis. The text from the email states it does not require it, but it needs to be reviewed. So please, I'm just saying, do not, this came to my attention because we do not advise our members to reveal their medical diagnosis. And if you need assistance, Irene, I'm strongly suggesting that you connect with your executive officer regarding that.
Just to add to that response, Irene, the board does not have the right to know what your diagnosis is. To the extent that they have a duty to accommodate your medical condition, they need to know what your symptoms are, and they would need to know what your medical restrictions and limitations are. So what your functional abilities are. That's the key information which your doctor needs to include in any medical documentation. But diagnosis is not part of that. We have a question from Batya. Levy, can you send the information from the steward mailing via email? There is so much going on. The sooner we can get it, the better. Yeah, Batya, we can definitely do that. We're in the process of mailing those out right now. And as soon as that's done, we're going to post that on the website. So that members have access to that electronically as well. So we have a message from the president, we have the parent petition, we have the steward checklist. We also have an updated health and safety flowchart, which details for members the various processes that they should follow in the event that they have various different kinds of health and safety concerns or questions. And we also have an updated ETT map, which illustrates the different wards and the different executive officers who are assigned to those wards. We also have a section of the website which members should consult with during the summer. There have been some changes to the way that we assign ward responsibilities. The ETT office, the ETT executive, has aligned our ward boundaries to be coterminous with the school board's ward boundaries. And so there have been some changes. So I would encourage everyone to consult with the ETT website, to the homepage of the ETT website, where you can find the executive officer directory, and you can identify who your executive officer is for the 2020 to 2022 term.
Remember, if you have questions, press *3 on your phone, so that the screeners can take your questions and we can have them so that we can address your questions here. Carrie from John B. Parker writes, old carpet is in our school. Will it be removed and or changed due to climate? Great question. And that's a very specific question. Oh, very, very specific question. And as such, we can't answer that. That would be something that would be site-based and dependent upon many other protocols that the board has in place. Vicki writes, is there any truth to the rumor that teachers who teach virtually will be teaching from a TDSB building or will we be working from home? So I would like to state that that is not a rumor. That has been a possibility in one of the many reiterations of the plan that has been changed over and over again. So, Vicki, thank you for that question. At this time, because it's a new plan, I cannot say for certain if that is still the expectation. So that is yet to be determined and communicated out. And you have something here, statement. Our school got 10 face shields for a staff of over 40. So I'm thinking that perhaps those face shields may be a part of a kit that belongs to an ISP class that may be in your building, your administrator, Vicki, should know that kits have been sent out for ISP classes for additional PPE, and the face shields are part of that. So you can verify with your administrator. One of the things I do want to say is that each school must have an isolation room. So one of the things you need to do is when you return to the building on September 2nd, if you do not have an accommodation, is ensure certain minimum standards have been met. And one of those minimum standards is having a isolation room. So thank you for the question. We are looking for solutions. We need you to email on this chat or email myself at jbrown@ett.on.ca your solutions. Questions that come in that are site specific need to go to your executive officer. I am working on making the entire membership safe, and I want your input so that they can be relayed to the board so that we can have the best possible situation. So we're looking for solutions from the centrally assigned staff about redeployment. We're looking for solutions about minimizing exposure for all the Rotary teachers and any other issues. The whole piece with lunch, what we've shared with you tonight is what we have learned in our conversation with the board. We are meeting on Monday, and we're going to be sharing the questions that you put forward on this forum tonight, and we need to hear your solutions so that we can have the best possible, safest possible return with your solution as a part of making things work for all in this school board.
We're approaching the end of the hour, but I think we have time for another few questions. I have one question, online question from Valerie, who asks, will you talk about what may happen if a teacher is declared surplus? Will the reassignment be permanent? Valerie, when reorganization normally takes place in September and a teacher is declared surplus, they would be placed elsewhere, and that placement would be permanent, certainly until the end of that school year, upon which time they could obviously be surplus again. Any reassignment which takes place as a result of someone being made surplus to the school would be to do with overall decline in student enrollment. So that would result in a teacher being placed into a vacancy elsewhere, which would be a permanent placement. That's to be differentiated from teachers who are redeployed, which is obviously going to take place on a temporary basis. So centrally assigned staff members, for example, are going to be redeployed, but they will still remain in their position, and they will also remain attached to their home school. That's obviously not the case for someone who's been surplus from a school as a result of declining enrollment.
Okay. So though we are not able to address all the questions that came in tonight on the phone and online, we thank you for them because we have a record of them, and we will be pursuing them with the board. There was over 2,000 of you that joined us online, and the questions and those of you on the phone, we thank you. I just want to let you know that we're going to get through this. We're going to work together, and I want to remind you to please check the COVID-19 FAQ on the ETT website, and to be sure to connect with your executive officer. We're looking for your solutions about some of the issues you have here, and that would be very helpful.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining us. We hope that this has been informative. Please continue to reach out to us as your concerns and questions come in. Again, myself and Doris are attached to centrally assigned members. But again, if you need to locate the contact details of your current executive officer, please go to the ETT website for an updated directory of which executive officer is assigned to which ward. Thanks so much for your participation.
Thank you, everyone. Again, email your questions to ETT at ETT.ON.ca, your solutions to ETT.ON.ca, so that we can advocate on your behalf. I thank you for getting on this with us today, and we hope that it's been informative and that you are able to have a little more peace of mind. Thank you, everyone. Together, we will get through this. A good night.